two.
Really?
One, two.
I got Doug, folks.
A test for me and a test for you.
What are we doing?
A testing to the truth.
Hello, Earth.
Hello, baby.
I love you. You're the only one I got.
1 year, one time, one life.
One Earth, one radio. That's right. Welcome. Humans, insects, aliens, trees, whoever's listening, welcome to Clever Action Radio. We have a special show today. Why? Because every show is special. Everything is special. There's no such thing as an unspecial thing.
Oh.
That opening was from DJ Lady D, the queen of house music. And I am Anthony Mosley, your guide on this mothership ride. And we are live here now on WCPT, Chicago Progressive Talk Radio. The way it works is that they have technology, and we speak into the technology.
Hello.
And it gets zapped out in different vibrations to you. And we meet here every Saturday at 4 p.m. Central Time. And this is our, I believe, 43rd show.
Yay. Congrats. That's amazing.
And you're joining us wherever you're at. We're coming to you. You're live if you're listening now, and if you're listening in the future, well, it's live while you're listening then, too. You can catch us on Facebook Live streaming right now. And I did just tag you, Doug Fogelson. You want to share that, you can.
Thank you.
And in the future, you can get us at Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Or we're live on YouTube right now. And if you subscribe, you can get a little notification every time we go live. Bing, hit that button. And we have so much cool content there. If you're into art and dismantling systemic oppression and feeling good because you experience the authentic communication of another human that reminds you that we're not alone, that we're all connected, we're all swimming inside of the same body. Yes. Whether you're a mitochondria or plasma or a little microorganism that lives on a human's face, we're all part of the same one. I'm Anthony Mosley. I already said that, didn't I? I did. It's been an exciting week, hasn't it? Lots going on.
It's been amazing.
Doug Fogelson is in the studio today. He's my guest, our guest here at Clever Action Radio, and he is a very interesting cat.
I'm like your Ken Nordine shadow self today. You know, do you remember Ken Nordine's
Remind
radio show?
Remind me, who's Ken Nordine?
I believe he was based in Wisconsin. He was a public radio late night host, a legend, a wordsmith, a poet, a person who would take his voice and craft these amazing monologues of the id and the ego and the superego and all these things, and put his voice into different effects and talk to himself. So I'm kind of being your shadow Nordine right now in the intro.
Turn it up.
Shout out to Ken.
Turn it up. I'm down to clown. And one of the things, if you don't know about clowning, the art of the clown, one perspective is that the clown wakes up and everything he sees and does is the first time he sees it and does it. He walks down the hall, goes to the kitchen. It's the first time he's ever been inside of a kitchen. Oh, my God. Goodness. And then he makes a cup of coffee. I don't know how he knew how to make it, but it's the first coffee he's ever tasted. And then he walks out into the world, and it's the first sidewalk he's ever seen. If you're ever kind of in a funk, just pretend you're a clown for about 5 minutes.
It's not Clown Hog Day. Because if it was, you'd remember all the days, but the day would be the same. But if you're a clown, if you're the actual clown...
No, but I think that it is Clown Hog Day. When you're a clown every day, is Clown Hog Day.
True that. I guess it's both. Yes, and.
Clever Action Radio is sponsored by the Joseph and Bessie Feinberg Foundation and donors and members like you. Email radio at clabberaction or go to clabberaction.org to learn more. You can get an ad for as little as $300 a month for a 460-second ads on this show. And those packages go all the way up to $1,500 a month, in which you can get all kinds of e-presence, website presence, newsletter presence, and you can really connect and talk to the whole Clabberaction tribe.
Your presence will be noted.
Today's episode of Clabberaction Radio is sponsored by AV Chicago, Chicago's leading provider of audiovisual technology, equipment, and geeks. AV Chicago, when you need the gear and the geeks to make the magic happen. And if you say Jeremy Getz sent me, you'll get very special service. Tell him Jeremy sent you. Ethos Collective is a purpose-driven destination and management company, and they are a trusted strategic ally to your business, and they can throw you an amazing professional event. Clever Action, who are we? Well, you may know that, but if you don't, we're a 27-year-old Chicago nonprofit. We build knowledge, empathy, dialogue, and action. We call that KEDA. Knowledge, empathy. That's what happens when you come to our experiences. You learn new things that you might not have learned. You feel new things. You ever watch a movie and the protagonist is not like you? And along the way, you forget that and you just think you're living that as them, especially on the big screen with a bunch of people.
Or after the movie when you kind of act like them for the first half an hour.
Yeah. Like when I saw Donnie Brasco for the first time, Sandra's like, you have to stop talking like that. The first time I saw Rocky, actually, my friend's dad had a Betamax and he was getting stolen, what was it called? Black market videos. I think somebody would go into the theater and actually bring up a camera and record them and then sell those for like, so his dad would get like, so he got Rocky, you know, and I was like maybe 12 years old living in Deerfield. And so we watch Rocky, and the quality is horrible, right? It's a Betamax tape of a bad video camera that snuck into the movie theater as part of the mob, probably. And this is how the mob used to make their money in the suburbs.
He bought it off the back of a van.
I know. I mean, I think this guy would come see him once a month, and the van would pull up. So we get out of watching Rocky, and what do? You just punch each other.
Oh.
We boxed, and I boxed against somebody who is much bigger than me. But you know what? I couldn't feel it. I was so fired up from Rocky. I had so much. I mean, the next day I was sore. But, you know, that's the thing. When you're young and you fall and you bounce, you're like made of rubber, you know? I when kids fall, I just look at them, and I'm like, that is so cool.
And they heal in like 12 minutes.
Well, yeah,
they heal in 12 minutes.
Yeah.
After they're broken, they heal quickly.
Yeah, they put a Band-Aid on it, and it's actually fixed. Whereas, like, if I fall or nick something, it's like 3 weeks. It's like you feel it and live with it. Every morning, you're like, ooh, my knee.
So back to being inspired by movies, though. Do you remember the name of the early Sean Penn movie where he's hanging on the front of a car in a small town, and he's being driven around and being flung by this car and pulls off the windshield wiper?
What movie is that?
I want to say At Close Range, but that's not it. It was Sean Penn as a young actor. And we went out into, I think we were in the suburbs at a movie theater. We got, and we parked on a field, a dirt field, and one of our friends jumped in the driver's seat, and I jumped on the windshield. I just hung on for dear life, and he kept reversing, doing backwards donuts and stuff, much, much faster than I was comfortable with, you know. Somehow I still hung on. I mean, that's, you know, being inspired by a movie and doing some dumb stuff. It happens.
After I saw the Doors movie, one of the girls we were with had a little convertible Kia Jeep thing. Remember those, like, mini, I think it was a Kia. It was this tiny little ridiculous Jeep, and we were standing up in the back of the Jeep holding on to the guardrail.
It was probably an El Camino.
So imagine if you actually saw shows that were about positive social change and about building understanding and sympathy and equity and love for one another, and you took that energy and you applied it to positive social change.
And we do that. We walk out of movies with that feeling, too.
Yeah. And so that's why the key to thing is knowledge, empathy. After every show, we have a crucial conversation because it's that shared conversation with the group. And, you know, we all do it. At least I do. After a good movie or a film, I have a great conversation. Or play, you know, theater is the, I mean, you know, you go see a theater and then you know, if you're lucky, you have time, you go to the bar and you hang, or just on the walk home or the drive home.
If it's bad, the conversation is very short because there's not much to talk about, except it just didn't live up to your expectations. But if it's good, you can talk forever.
So, and then how do we turn that talking into action? And Doug has laid out an amazing program that helps turn talking into action around sustainability for Mother Earth. And that's why he's also a really unique artist, photographer, musician, producer. We shared a studio building together about 10, 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I invited him to come on the show on 420. And it's going to be 420 in about 3 minutes. And we are going to take a break and have a moment of alien silence at 420 on 420. Doug, we're going to turn the lights off for that. This is something I've been doing lately.
I'm going to twist myself up into a double helix.
Great. Henry, we're going to turn the lights off at 419.40. We're going to turn the lights off and we're going to do a 420-420 alien silence. But what else is going on?
Well, that was a great segue into the 1 year for Earth thing. I mean, that was beautiful.
Well, listen,
can I follow up on it?
Yeah, I was going to read your bio and stuff, but go ahead.
No, we can get into that. But
please,
I just think that, you know, on the subject of action, right, and getting into action, seeing something and being inspired, that is what we decided to do with design on this web platform. So it's 1, the number, Y, the letter, 4, the number, and E, the letter, .org. You can also get there by going to oneyearforearth.com or .org, all spelled out. But we have an issue, right? It's the Earth Day is every day. April is Earth Month. Every month is Earth Month. And we all know that there's a big issue, and it's no secret. The question is that feeling, that crushing feeling of, I'm so small and the problem is so big. How do you then take that inspired moment when you're done watching a movie about cute penguins or polar bears and then go do something that actually seems important, that is going to matter? It's not just a drop in the ocean. And I personally have felt helpless against the giant fossil fuel industries and giant capitalistic enterprises that are, you know, aiming to push us backwards instead of forwards on this issue. But there is so much good stuff that we can do if we just apply a very simple methodology to thinking about this. It starts off with just a little bit of education in the lightest sense of how you educate yourself to build a mindset. And I know we have like 2 minutes till 420, but let's build a mindset together right now. Let's do a little exercise of how do we build a mindset of sustainability. We just have to simply look around us. I'm in the studio with you. There are tons of wires, tons of lights, tons of electricity is being used to make this. The electricity is being fueled by fossil fuel enterprise and some renewable. How can we assess this moment, this studio, this enterprise of radio, and just make it as least impactful as possible? We can do that by making a little plan to do something right now. Maybe we unplug all the unused electrical appliances and try to save a few pennies, you know, which adds up to a few dollars, which adds up to more over time. Maybe we do it by making long-term plans to power this thing from a solar array. And that would require a lot more planning. But it doesn't start until you actually make a little bit of a plan by setting your mind to it. The mindset is key. And then once you set your mind into a pragmatic, practical footing on sustainability, you can see everything that way. But you have to kind of open your mind to doing it first. And now the lights have dimmed. We can talk about this a bit more and elaborate on it.
Here we are, 424, 8, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I like
tricky,
that.
Tricky, 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 tricky. There are people around the Central Time Zone.
CDT, y'all.
Connected right now.
The antenna is floating over us all. It just long waves, short waves, signal waves. Whales. Whales from whales. Think about that. Whales are from whales. Anyway.
Oh, you mean like
420, baby.
Like,
it is all about the sounds, from the audible to the inaudible spectrum. The intricate radio waves that are coming from deep within the Big Bang, constantly flowing from the sun in solar flares. All the waves that are coming out from AM, FM, AC, DC, continuous flow, sun amplifiers, orange crush. You never know which way the waves are going to flow. After 420 is crescendoing under a crescent moon.
It's not too soon.
It's never too
late. For that wealth or boon, the little raccoon runs up the tree. Oh, I see.
How now do you see?
How now, brown cow?
All
okay,
right.
Let's turn the lights back on.
Thank you so
great.
Much for
Thank
that.
You for that.
Great.
Yeah, great job. Okay.
Thank you. And we were talking about saving the planet or ourselves.
If you're wondering, what the who the? Doug Fogelson, you want to talk or share your thoughts about climate change or about sustainability
or
420?
I want to continue to not be... unclear about this one point.
Oh, no, I was talking to the audience. We're going to come back to you. Hold on.
Okay.
You can call in at 773-763-WCPT. That's 773-763-9278. And I want them to know a little bit more about you because you're more than just a professor of sustainability. Doug exhibits photographic-based works in venues across the United States and globally. He just had a really cool opening over at the Kimball Art Center. With
blackpuffin.co.
Some really cool stuff. And he is in some esteemed collections, such as the Museum of Contemporary Photography in Chicago, the J. Paul Getty Center in Los Angeles, Center for Creative Photography in Tucson. He founded an arts-focused publishing imprint, taught at the school. What was that called again?
Front 40 Press.
Front 40 Press. That was some amazing stuff. He's taught at the School of Art Institute. And he's a board member for Filter Photo, and that's where he co-founded the Filter Space Gallery, and then he's with his collaborators launched the 1 Year for Earth, which is an online platform addressing climate crisis. 1 Year for Earth is an online resource hub to help facilitate a sustainable mindset and inspire meaningful actions on the climate crisis. Individuals and groups can utilize the information and choose ways to apply sustainable practices at home, school, work, or travel. It's an amazing program that really breaks it down on a simple, action-based, daily, you know, implementations of things that we can do to be part of the solution and not continuing to be complicit with an unsustainable lifestyle. And that's why I brought him on here today on 420. Because if you're celebrating 420 today, you know, you really should take time to think and do more for the earth.
Especially if you're celebrating 420.
Yes.
I mean, let's face it, the drugs that we take are from the earth. They may be synthesized and turned into chemistry, but the original compounds are all natural, you know, at least in some form in the beginning, before they scale up and produce, mass produce.
We should all be doing what we can, but we don't. And I do think there's similarities between this issue with many others, you know, poverty, racism, all kinds of issues. And
yeah, all the sustainable development goals from the disciplinary, the IPCC, Government Panel on Climate Change, excuse me, that, you know, there's much smarter minds than ours talking about this for many, many years. I mean, the first Earth Day, for instance, April 1970, 50 years, 53 years ago, 54 years ago. Yeah, I need to do math.
And that was the same year as the Jimi Hendrix Rainbow Bridge performance in Maui.
So, you know, we've known about these things for a very, very long time. They've been big problems for a very, very long time. We have been kind of, you know, bickering about whether or not the science is settled for a very, very long time. It's passé. It's cliché. I mean, we grew up with this. We inherited this. Everybody's inherited this now at this point, this big problem. And we see and know. Generally, if you'd have to hide your head in the sand to not know that we have a massive situation on our hands, and nothing is really impactful enough, you know, even if we have, you know, wonderful stuff coming out with Inflation Reduction Act, you know, and at the same time, we're a very large net, you know, exporter of oil here in the United States. We're one of the largest contributors, or the largest contributor to emissions. And we have, you know, record after record breaking decade of heat and of drought and of all the terrible things I could list. But I believe that it's imperative for us to now each find a very simple way to address this in our lives. And even if we don't solve the problem, action is more healing and better and makes you personally feel better than inaction on this. And it tends to lead to, you know, and I'm not trying to sound like a salesperson here, but it tends to lead to money savings and improved health consequences. So while you're doing the bare minimum that you can, and just being practical, pragmatic, and trying to do things in a way that makes sense, whether you're left, right, up, down, red, or blue, you can then also be in a certain kind of action. I just don't see why anyone would have a problem with doing some of these sensible things. Yet they do.
I mean, somebody who hates Earth. You know,
I mean, yeah. Do you hate the Earth, really? You know, because maybe
it's not so bad, folks. Yeah. So, Doug, what are some of the like surprisingly simple things that folks can do?
Breaking it down, just the main message I want to get across, and we can talk about fun stuff, of course. Three things. It starts with a mindset, and then we have a three-step methodology that we want people to do. And I will just be the first to admit that we are not the be-all, end-all authorities on this. There are so many smart people that are running sustainability programs, that are doing sustainability in corporate things and governmental things, huge nonprofit resources, amazing people, amazing scientists, amazing experts. We have the simple, light, you know, elevator pitch version of that. One is to start by educating yourself to the bare minimum of just knowing what the problem is so that you have some talking points and understanding that the problem is big and so on. And then establishing the methodology of why. The why. Why should we do this stuff? Why should we have an effort here to be more sustainable? Then we have a three-point program, creating a sustainable action plan for yourself, your school, your household, your workplace, the organization, corporation where you work. It's just smart. You would do that for anything else. You would make a strategic plan or a plan over time. That includes short, medium, long-term goals, like I was saying. So low-hanging items you can do today would be sign up for Earth Justice or Move On or Climate Reality Group and get those texts. And then when it says to resend the text, fast-track your answer, boom, you're sending something to your congressperson through digital means. The same thing for many other websites where you can kind of get right on it. You can stop junk mail from coming to your house right away. You know, there's all these little things that you can do that are, you know, in the end, they say they don't really add up, but they do. If everyone does it, it does make an impact. Then there's long-term things. So looking around and creating a sustainable action plan. leaving room, that's your sort of document. B is really finding one nonprofit like Collaboraction or other nonprofits that has something you believe in and putting your arm around that nonprofit and saying, I will support you for years. I will give you a tiny percent of my money. I will give you a tiny percent of my time. I'll signal boost you. I'll repost your stuff. I'll sign your stuff, your petitions. I'll talk to my friends and family. And I will donate a little bit of my money. Like 1% to 3% would be of your income would be wonderful to an organization. The last final thing is just do one thing in person in your community, whether that's your building, your floor, your block, anything that's happening in your general area where you show up, and do a community item. And I have a little list of things here, some of the things that are, you could get a community supported agriculture share. You know, you could talk about a composting service in your area. You could work on getting vacant properties turned over into non-vacant properties. You could barter. You can recycle, reduce, reuse. You can do different kinds of things for holiday decoration. Cleanup programs are obvious, right? Anti-idle campaigns at schools. People turn off the car, then they pick up their child and turn it back on to go. Makes a difference if everybody does it for the air of the houses around you and also for the air in general. Movie nights, book clubs, you name it. Green voting, tree planting, boycott lists, blood drives. There's so many community things that you can do. We're saying that the methodology, and that's it, three things. Do one thing in your community, pick one nonprofit to actually support over years, and then when people come to your door, you say, no, I'm sorry, I support X, Y, or Z nonprofit. And then make a personal or a group for your organization sustainable action plan. And that's really the key, to have a plan for now and tomorrow. We help you with this by creating a web platform that's built by myself and the team of regular people who just have interest in this, overseen by people who are experts. We have scoured the website to find and curate the best solutions we could find from the crowded internet, corners of the internet. You can get so much information and misinformation from the internet on sustainable items and sustainable issues. We point you to what we think are the best places. We give you a short introduction of each topic, an action link, a definition link to go find out more, whatever, whether it's like crafting or DIY stuff or like books and movies to self-care, to culture around sustainability, or like really practical things around food, structures, energy, all these different items that we've been able to distill from innovation to products, key figures that are around the world that are, some of them have passed on, some of them are like very young. And we highlight these people to show you the interconnectedness. Thinking of like something like the Whole Earth Catalog, which came out in the late 60s and early 70s from Stuart Brand, as a bit of inspiration for this. And also looking around at websites that use e-learning and like Duolingo or gamification to help people. We want to find you where you are, and that's the internet right now. So we created a design forward website. The website has a kind of a cool UI UX, user interface. It also has a program that you can opt into where we send you one email a week for one full year. So 52 chances to remind you to do something. But we also incentivize that reminder because it's kind of a should, right? So we incentivize that by gamifying the whole experience. We give you your own personal dashboard. Every week we send you an email. It prompts you to come in and find out what the seasonal foods are that are this week's seasonal foods for North America and Europe latitudes. And that includes warm south and cold north. We give you the seasonal tip of like, hey, it's time to clean your gutters or check the weatherization of your house for AC or heating or fireproof. I mean, there's some, you know, storms coming or this or that. We use that opportunity to remind you and cheerlead you on to get those three methodology things done. How are you doing on your sustainable action plan? How are you doing with locating and adopting, so to speak, a nonprofit or doing something in your community? Those are 52 chances we have. And there's also a quiz question. Once you set up a profile, we send you that. We send you the emails, and it's up to you to come in and just click the boxes. But by doing so, some synapses will fire off in your brain, and you'll remember, and you will internalize the best practices that we've been able to cull down. My team, it's about five people. We all have our expertise to bring to the table, and we've each of us have brought this content to the website. And we've distilled from that down to the 52 reminders, best practices, and methodology pieces, and of course, the seasonal food. At the end of that whole thing, we tally up the points that you earn by the gamification aspect. And then we apply that to trees being planted in two kinds of reforestation projects. One is a local one, regional one from Delta Institute that's happening in Northwest Indiana and will be happening in Detroit to create a black oak savanna in a place of challenge and blight. Secondly, we use our partners One Tree Planted to plant trees in the Global South who are feeling the burden of our Global North lifestyles and the effects of climate change are wreaking havoc down there while we're up here using single-use plastics. So that's our program. And I know I'm kind of monologuing here. I'm going to stop.
I just signed up.
He just signed up right now.
Thank you. I just signed up right now.
So, you know, we've stress tested last year. We launched a year ago. It's been 1 year of friends and family soft launching. We've got a number of followers. We have about 1,000 people who have signed up for the program. Some of those I don't think are actual humans. They're like bots. But a lot of them are humans, and we've stress tested it over the last year, and it works. We've fine-tuned the content, the educational content. Our team has been working really hard on that for the last year. Now we're in the implementation, the rollout phase, where we want groups to try to use it. We actually have a lesson plan and an activity plan that you can use to introduce sustainable concepts and discussions at your workplace or your classroom, written by one of our key members, Lydia Vane, who was a teacher for Teach for America at the high school level. So the lesson plan is properly laid out. And that's it in a nutshell. It's a web resource with a holistic list of things in all different categories and an opt-in program that you can sign up for and be reminded. And at the end, you get a certificate digitally that gives your metrics of points and trees planted and carbon saved. But mostly what we want you to walk away with at the end of the year is a feeling that you kind of already now know all the best practices. You fully understand the basic situation and you've started to do things about it with your sustainable action plan, with your the nonprofits and teams that are doing great work that you support, and within the resilience of your own community, that your friends, family, neighbors that are in proximity to you.
I took the pledge. I'm I have until 4/20 2025. And we'll see how I do.
So you're a use case. So there's test case scenario and use case. What we really want right now are people to be a one-year use case. And I'm talking about at year. We need people to be agents of change. We need people to step up, become a leader in your own way. You already know that this problem is real and big. But we can do something if people step up and try to see. It's not like debating whether we have a problem. It's what are you going to do with that right now?
So, Doug, what was the tipping point for you when you went from just kind of like thinking about this to saying, I'm going to actually take action and do something?
So, yes, absolutely. I've been taking action. I've been taking action for years, but in a way, I have been wanting a product like this. Now, the iPhone came out and had Google and the map. And then there's green pages and green directories that are almost all defunct and only good for certain areas and not good for everybody. I wanted something that would help me live green, and then I realized all I need to do is put eco or green in front of my search terms on the phone to find that green dry cleaner. If I wanted to live every way green, I can use my phone, but that requires a lot of work on my part. So then the pandemic came about, and I was rehashing old ideas that I still thought had merit and were still bouncing around my head. And I looked around and I did not find anything that really does this the way that uses design in a certain way and is clear. And I thought, you know what, I'm just going to start researching the topics. I started researching the topics, made a Google Doc. And then I reached out and found collaborators. My first collaborator was a wonderful woman from Texas named Taylor Hagler. And I found her by just putting a post on LinkedIn or something. She's a disability advocate. She is disabled and she had amazing, amazing energy. She went to University of Texas. She was working for a disability nonprofit based in San Francisco, and she got the idea, and she and I started building it out together. Now, she was very disabled herself and needed a lot of care, but she still brought herself during the pandemic to Paris and rented a place and was working from there. She had a chair she moved around in and a helper with her. Ultimately, she passed away while we were making this website because of some complications from the pandemic and her situation. So this is actually kind of a testament to her also as my early collaborator and co-creator of this. I found other people. They're all young women. They're all different. They're all from different places and have different experiences. And I just wanted it to be empowering for all of us. I wanted it to look like all of us. I wanted it to be by real people who have their own expertise to search the web and find, you know, what is the most relevant thing we can do. And then just to be a bridge to point you to the other stuff. There are other programs and other services and other things out there like this. And it's not just the 10 things you can do in your lifestyle that we're pitching. We're pitching that, again, holistic. Not many of them have a whole self-care category. Not many of them have a culture category where they highlight visual artists and performers and movie and TV and writers who are talking about this sort of stuff. So we're trying to do it all in a broad way to help set up the mindset. And it was the pandemic that really inspired it to come to the fore.
Awesome. Awesome. Go to 1y4e.org. Or you can just type in 1 year for Earth as well. It gets you there, too.
Yeah, but it also gets you to Earth year, the astrophysics society, you know, the science of Earth and year. So it's hard to get SEO to place us very, very high because we're competing with, like, every kindergarten, you know. but, yes, the pandemic really did essentialize things, not just workers, but it essentialized things. And it was a great moment in its own terrible way for sustainability. And then we had the bounce back, you know, of what happened afterwards, where people flew more and bought more and partied more and drank more and did all the ate more and all the things. So now we're in the post moment of that. As we built this out, it's been taking years to get to the point where we're at. We decided to apply and become a nonprofit ourselves so that we can, you know, streamline our activity and move it into a plan that would go for years. So what we're hoping is, you know, to get use case people now to do it like you signed up today. Give us a year. Maybe we can send you a survey at the end of the year. If it's you or your team who are using 1 year for Earth, just be our use case people. Then we can send you and actually have some direct feedback from you. Then how did it work? We're still evolving this as well. We want to hear from the people who are using it as well. And they send us emails. There's a contact page. It's very, very helpful for us. Or, oh, I don't see this on there. You know, it's a constantly, we want to be more focused on honing for you everything that we can, the most essential experience. We have 52 weeks to talk to you and then you're done. We have these, you know, even if you just read the titles of all of the posts that are on each category, you'll set your mindset basically just from reading, without reading the articles and going to the links. You start to build that understanding in a holistic way.
You know, one of the things you're alluding to is really about a content diet. Is that we as humans need to think about what we put into our brain. And if you just bring better content in, it'll have an impact on you.
Yeah, I mean, creative visualization is proven to work. It's not like in a certain way, like fake it till you make it necessarily, but I want this thing. I can see it in my future. I want to have a solar panel powered house. I want to drive an electric car. And that, it, to me, is doing my part. Okay, I can see myself doing that. Now I'm going to see the opportunities as they come up. Oh, this paycheck came in. Can I spend it on, you know, Great America or roller coasters? Or maybe that money can go into the solar fund. And so that becomes part of your long-term sustainable planning. You wouldn't think that way if you hadn't set, you know, the vision of what you want to have in the future. It's hard because we're in an instant gratification kind of two-step with, you know, sugar and everything being delivered to your door within like 12 hours. So, but with a little bit of planning and with some creative visualization or like ideation, like you're talking about, you can start to see pathways to get those things that you want. Now, you can't wish for like the lowest carbon in the atmosphere, but we can all do our part to check the supply chain by being vocal, by being that squeaky wheel, by being a leader, by being an agent of change and empowered to just say, hey, what do you do with your food waste here at this restaurant? I notice a lot of the plates are half eaten. What do you do with all that food that you're not eating? Oh, we just throw it away. Do you have like a composting dumpster? Do you guys have a compost dumpster service? No. Do you want to talk to my manager? You know, I mean, I'm just playing a conversation, you know,
yeah.
At the gym. What do you guys do with all that? Do you turn the lights off at night? Like, you know, what do you do with all that waste? You know, just being that squeaky wheel or looking around yourself and say, where can I cut? How can I fix? And that's, there are three scopes to emissions. You know, there's the stuff that I own, the stuff that I use, and all the things up and down the stream. Those are called phase three or zone three. I'm blanking right now. But those are the most impactful things, like your house you own, the gas you kind of use in your car. But it's all the things that got you the house and that got you the gas and all the things up and downstream that are really building up a lot.
So, and in action, a small action today, that change will compound over time. It's kind of like, and you know, a percentage return on a mutual fund. The earlier you start the habit, the bigger impact it'll have over time.
100%. That is the mindset speaking right now. So if you understand that concept and you can get that really and think sit with that concept, you would do it for college. You'd put a 529 plan or something away for college for your child. If you did the same thing, it might be a bit painful right now to put that money away and not use it, but it will compound over time. It will grow. The savings of net carbon emissions will grow if we change now. If we do not change, the problem continues to grow. And so why wouldn't we do as much as we can now so that our kids and our grandkids and they can actually have a much more, you know, just as, at least something as good as we did from this wonderful planet. The planet will go on. We can get abstract and talk about, you know, the geologic time cycles and life will be resilient. It will come back and, you know, talking about millions of years or any of these other sort of silly flat earthers sort of conversations. But we have a very short, very, very specific answerable. We have scientists and people who have come up with things like a Project Drawdown. If you look at Project Drawdown, they'll just lay it all out. And we have some timelines, you know, and the UN has done a great job with that. We can all do our part right where we are, right in our own way. And, you know, it does make you feel a little better to be doing something. And so that's it. We're just trying to push that. It's not an easy sell. Let's face it. It's a should, you know. It's not instant always, but there is a level of instant gratification, I think, that you do get. You get these compounding returns over time. You get this exponential help, you know, healthier planet. But right now, you do get that hit of dopamine or serotonin from feeling good about, like, what can I do? You could go on our website right now and pick, like, 40 things to do, like, today. You can see we have a whole advocacy category. You can roll through them and find all the nonprofits and sign up for all their mailing lists.
And this is the kind of thing you can do with a friend or your children or your parents, where you can take a little time out of your week or your month. And it's just about small habits, micro habits, you know, and being conscious of it is the first thing. And we are gaining conscience and losing ignorance about humanity's impact on each other and the planet.
I mean, here, let me give you an impactful micro habit, because some impactful micro habits do not add up, right? You can change your light bulbs. We all know that changing to the compact fluorescent and the LEDs are much better. That's not a small thing. That's a big thing you can actually do. A small habit would be, like, every month, go find you know, the political nonprofits that are doing things for green and sustainable causes and supporting those things, and sign up for their mailing list, and then give yourself like 1 hour a month to answer and send the emails. Your state will have an online thing, like it's called a witness slip. So you can do that. You can directly participate in our democratic process by doing these witness slips for orgs. Like the Climate Reality Network has chapters all around the world, all around the country. I mean, that's Al Gore's nonprofit. They will tell you which things to support and which witness slips to fill out and how to fill out those witness slips. And now you're in Illinois, that's Springfield. Now you're participating in Springfield from your armchair, from behind your screen. And it
your
does
armchair
work.
Senator.
And there are forces aligned against those causes and lobbyists and interests that are trying to stop people from making practical changes. So they have a lot of people somehow doing this.
I was thinking about it. What if we had as many people rabid about doing good things online as we did with QAnon? You know, what if we had people doing positive things. Yeah. And that's what you're really talking about, simple little things.
How can you be against some of these? Because, you know, you might call that, it's, you know, against an anti-woke kind of thing. And we did get that way. We boosted some posts on Facebook, and we've learned a lot over this year of One Year for Earth. We got into a sort of cul-de-sac of curmudgeonly comments, and they were very mean, very, very mean, right?
As you can, it was a cul-de-sac of curmudgeons.
Comments. When you actually get those directly, you know they exist, but when you get them yourself,
oh, yeah.
They're telling you to go die or do this or do
oh,
that.
Yeah.
We're trying to get rich from doing this.
That's when you knew you made it.
I mean,
when we were on CBS News with Norm O'Donnell, We got a huge hit. Go check it out. And it was about our pandemic show called Becoming, Unlearning White Supremacy. And we got, the trolls came out. And I was like, we finally made it.
Yeah.
And if you're a troll and you're listening right now,
yes,
call us live at
773-763-9278.
Or if you just want to, if you're not a troll, if you're a human and you care about this stuff and you want to share your thoughts and your opinions, or you have questions for Doug, go ahead, call in. I dare you.
773-763-9278.
You won't do it.
But if you are a troll, I don't know how you can be against just basically doing one thing in your community, supporting a nonprofit, any nonprofit, could be the one that you like, and making a sustainable action plan for yourself. That could be like prepping for the apocalypse for all we care. That's a sustaining yourself action plan. How can you be against? These are just like normal, nice things. It's not about eating kale or, you know, whatever woke thing you're mad about right now. It's not about that.
Whether you're left, right, up, down, red, or blue.
Yeah, that's the middle ground, guys and gals and non-binary people. It's the middle ground. So I think we could use a bit more of that. Yes, we are fully left of center. Yes, we do support so many things that you hate. But at the same time, we don't yell about that. We don't give you guilt. We don't give you shame. We don't give you pressure. We keep it very central, very middle of the road. And that's intentional. We're an educational platform, and we take that very seriously. We don't try to, you know, sway people really even one way or the other. We just lay out a simple introduction to these practices, and whether it's like organic gardening or you name it. So,
Henry, you've been shaking your head over there quite a bit. And you're what generation are you, by the way?
I am Gen Z.
You're Gen Z. What's your reaction to all of this, what Doug's talking about?
It's okay if you don't like it. Be honest.
No, I think it's cool. I think it's cool to kind of reach across and meet people where they're at and then just try and, like, persuade them from there. I think that's a more effective strategy than, like, kind of just yelling at people, generally speaking.
And, is this something that you and your friends care about or not really or a little bit or?
Yeah, I'd say a lot of people I know are, like, pretty plugged into this kind of stuff. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah. And you live in Chicago, and it's like, what about the people who are out there in the middle of a place where they just don't have exposure to something? They can at least go online. And mm-hmm. if they were, you know, to be turned on to the oneyfore.org, maybe they get a new viewpoint that way, because it's not a mandate to teach sustainability and climate education in schools. It happens,
yeah.
but it doesn't happen in every school, and every state doesn't actually have a mandate to teach this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a bit of a challenge to get actually news on it. Even right now, we have wars. We have all kinds of situations going on. We have, you know, financial things going on. We have Trump in a trial or something. So it's not getting a lot of talk as much as it needs to.
And that's what I was thinking, like, you know, have you thought about an event, a conference, a festival, a series of speakers and vendors, an acoustic music, solar-powered music festival?
We've thought about a lot of things, and the answer is just act global, think global, act local. Do the best you can right where you are with the people that are right around you, and try to get the message out widely. So if we had one event, you know, and had some great people, and it would be great, unless it was a podcast that was then rebroadcast and reprogrammed. It's just another community thing that's wonderful. We want to make this website. I mean, we have our collaborators around the United States, and one is always traveling far flung. We're looking at the global north, but specifically the United States, to try to deploy. And yet we don't live in every place. So how do we reach you? How do we get to your college campus group how do we get to your school so that you can make a sustainability club? And using these three simple methodology points and this website as your tool to get there.
So if someone's listening who is with a university or with a group and they want to reach out on a more wholesale level.
Oh, yeah.
How do they do that? Who do they reach out to?
Simply just contact us, thank you, through the website. And it's just info@1y4e.org. We do have lesson plan and activity plan. We have community action info printouts and things with hyperlinks that you can use to distribute stuff. Even if you just have a block and you wanted to try to distribute this stuff to you, people on your block, we have resources for that. So just do not be shy. Reach out to us via email, through the website. That would be great. And we do aim to have, you know, more partnerships, more strategic partnerships with people. Any donation that you give to us is 100% tax deductible. It goes 100% to reforestation efforts through our reforestation fund. It, at this point, does not none of the money goes to our team. It's all being funded through self-funding and other, you know, sweat until we get to such a point, hopefully, where we can maybe pay ourselves to improve. But right now, we're just trying to build out the reforestation campaign and get some trees in the ground, because some of the people who are on the ride, on the journey, we call it the 1 year for Earth journey, are going to finish and they're going to get their certificates. And so let's say you're a corporation, you're trying to do corporate social responsibility or ESG stuff. You tell the HR department, hey, we've got this platform. We don't want to hire a big fancy sustainability consultant and a PR firm that's going to cost $10,000-$20,000 a month. There's a website. It's free. Use the stuff on there. Implement some stuff. Everybody finishes.
Gamify
it. Trees get planted. We're going to give a great donation to 1 year for Earth. It goes 100% to the trees that are getting planted for our teams. And at the end of a year, we'll do a survey and have a feedback session to see what worked, what didn't, and how much we saved, hopefully, or what we did and how we felt, how many times we didn't drive into work or didn't go fly to that meeting and we did things remotely. And we have some real net carbon savings that way, feel good about it, and have the tools to do that every year going forward.
Wow.
How about that?
Doug, don't take this the wrong way, but you are deceptively intelligent. I mean, you are so damn smart, and I know that you're. I went to your, what's it called, Pachukacha?
Pachakacha.
Pachakacha. I saw Doug do the Pachakacha with the slides, and listen. Here's the thing: a lot of visual artists, photographers, painters, sometimes they can't chop it up like you can. I mean, you got a good memory and you're
420
and you're super smart. Thank you for being on the show. I was hoping that we could just close it out with a lights off jam. Are you ready?
Yeah, let's do it. Thank you for having me and for talking about this very important topic.
Yeah. Thank you for bringing it to the conversation. And if you want to have Doug on your radio show or do an article for media, you know, reach out to him. I'm sure he's down.
I am. I'd be happy to present to your team, and we have a wonderful presentation deck I can send you as well.
Okay. Let's go dark and take us out. 3, 2, 1.
Love in the afternoon with Tony.
All we are saying
is give Italian beef a chance.
Is give Earth romance.
I feel spun out by Earth.
I feel grounded in the air.
You make my pulse twitch.
You make me feel like a bear.
If I was Space Lab right now, I would beam you aboard.
Meta. This is so meta. I feel so meta.
I met a man named Anthony. Mostly about 15, 16, I don't even know how many years ago.
Collaboration Radio. When you used to have that studio with Saverio.
He was the funniest, most energetic energy signature, and he's still...
We have free oxygen, going to the highest bidder.
Yes.
500 for Doug. Henry, can I get 1,000? 1,000, 1,000, yes. 1,500, 1,500 going once. 1,500 going twice.
Sell it.
Free oxygen for Doug Fogelson for 1,500. Let's all breathe it in. Hold it. One, yeah. Two, three, four. Exhale. Thank you for joining us on episode 43 of Collaboration Radio at the intersection of art, activism, and social change. Go check out 1Y4E.
Yo, Collaboration in the zone.
The calzone. Pepperoni and cheese, yo.
Yeah, yeah.
I love my red pepper flakes, but sometimes I overdo it a little bit, so I'm going to chill. Thanks for joining us. Have a great life.